Welcome to Career Buzz, Canada's unique radio conversation that empowers lives, enriches careers, and energizes organizations. Today on your show, tips on when to look for a job and supporting healthy workplaces. Hi, I'm Mark Franklin, practice leader of Career Cycles, a career management social enterprise. I'm pleased to be your host today on Career Buzz. Thanks for tuning in this morning. When Vera Asenin founded Your Workplace magazine, she said she created an environment where, quote, every person working with me would know that the day they created was totally within their control. As president and CEO of the magazine devoted to wellness, leadership, and supporting healthy work culture in Canada, Vera started Your Workplace as her way of making a difference after 2 years on disability. Karen Richardson is an editor, writer, and blogger with a focus on digital media. She's been writing for Canadian newspapers and magazines for the past 16 years. She's been published in the Medical Post, Chatelaine, and most recently as associate editor in Your Workplace magazine, together with Vera Asenin. Karen's career story includes chapters in communications, publication management, and copy editing. Stay tuned for Karen and Vera's story of calm creativity and resilience through adversity in the second half of today's show. But first, always interested in creative marketing frameworks, Jack Nodell now applies his marketing and relationship building skills as managing partner of Aries Staffing, a recruiting company, redeploying his undergrad sociology degree and early career experiences as a DJ. Jack moved into recruiting, where his skills have helped the company stay resilient during the ups and downs of business cycles, including the most recent recession. Jack Nodell joins us live in studio to talk about his career story, sharing tips on job compatibility, when to look for a job, and managing your career. Jack Nodell, welcome to Career Buzz.
Thanks for having me here today. It's great to be here.
So, Jack, what do you like about your job these days?
These days, I'm really enjoying the opportunity to work with individuals and with corporations that are deploying and that are putting their best foot forward with some amazing new technologies. The industry is just over the top with technologies that give great people access to some creative tools, give some large corporations the opportunity to be hiring some amazing people. It's just robust everywhere right now, and it's very cool to be a piece of it.
Robust everywhere. That sounds really upbeat after a tough recession.
It is. It's great. It's a great time.
Excellent. Really is. So we'll find out more about your business in a minute, but let's find a bit more about your career. What do you do typically as a recruiter? What's a typical week?
A typical week, it's actually probably better to look at a typical day. The recruitment business or the staffing industry has certain life cycles associated with it. Your day typically would be broken up into working with your candidates and working with your companies or the employers that are looking to hire some great people. So you could go into a day spending your morning reaching out to some amazing businesses in your community, mine being Toronto, and you could spend your afternoon reaching out to candidates and talking to them about new opportunities that have come through those employers that you have alliances with. That's kind of a broad overview, but that's the flavor.
And to be successful in this world of recruiting, what strengths, personal strengths, do you draw on daily to be successful?
I think that the most important strength in the recruiting space is long-term vision through giving. You invest a lot of time into developing quality relationships with people, and traditionally, candidates do not pay you directly for a service in the recruitment space. So the currency that you're working with is an elegant one. It's the relationship itself. That kind of sums up the candidate side.
And so that's one skill or strength that you're saying, long-term vision through giving. When you're working with candidates, when you're talking to clients, is there a communication skills or is there a kind of business development skill that's also key?
Sure. If you want to get into sort of the technical side of it, the ability to communicate effectively, to assist clients through an effective life cycle, whether it's gathering a new requisition effectively so that you can go to market for them. So communication would be a huge piece of this. And again, I have to mention that relationship management side, because in the staffing industry, there is a common misconception that, you know, the staffing consultants themselves should be experts in the area in which they're recruiting. I'm a strong believer that a great agency, a great staffing consultant, is a very effective relationship manager.
Let's have a look at your own career story and how you got here. I said in the intro you used a sociology undergrad degree, yeah, and some DJ experience before you got into this. What were those earlier career experiences prior to getting into recruiting?
I come from a home of Canadian entrepreneurs that have been successful in their space. And so I was exposed to some interesting marketing growing up. Because I had still have an interest in music, I gravitated towards building out an entertainment company that specialized in delivering some video dance shows to schools all over Ontario. It exposed me to creating alliances with companies through marketing channels, and also in building relationships with people that were going out to communicate with those students, aka the DJs, aka people from the companies that were giving out product. So it was a natural progression to look for an industry that would still allow me to work with great businesses, and also work with excellent people. It was a natural progression, and I think that it's certainly delivered what I was looking for in my career.
You say natural progression, and that's so interesting. People always wonder about how one moves from one thing to another in their career story. A sociology degree, a DJing, and the video and music experience that you said, and then you called it a natural progression. Can you take us into that moment where whatever change occurred, that turning point that led from all those other things into the recruiting space, or into that first step into the new world?
For sure. I had decided that it was time to move out of the entertainment space for soul searching reasons. Wanted to explore some new horizons, and look for something a little bit different. And I had interfaced with a few people that I had respected that were in the recruitment space that said that it's a space that could use some of what I probably could bring to the table, and I started interfacing with people that were in the space already, and had the opportunity to meet with our current CEO, who is Claire Colley at Aerie Staffing.
How did that first meeting come about? To meet the CEO of a staffing company, there's a great opportunity.
Yeah, it actually came about similar to the way great candidates move into their next correct role, and that is by referral. I was referred to Claire, and I had heard her name through the industry as being one that's well-respected, and she had actually heard of me as well through the individual that had referred us to each other. And we sat down and we had a meeting. And as with, in my opinion, all great things that are meant to be, the rest was kind of history. And we formed a vision to move into an interesting space, and go out there and try and deliver something extra special for candidates and for clients in the technology staffing arena. And we're trying to do that.
When you had that first meeting with Claire, and you say the rest is history, was there even a job posting? Was Claire at the time looking for somebody, or was it just one of those opportunities that come up, and when you see each other, you realize there's an opportunity, but it wasn't like a posted job, for instance?
No, not a posted job. It's funny, in staffing, it's difficult, like in any other industry, to find good people. So this was simply an open-minded conversation about probably a little bit about life, about visions and goals for both of our futures, or at least the conversation went there, and it was the type of thing that just felt correct to continue down the path of. And I meet with a lot of candidates that have met with people that introduced them to great opportunities, and it's typically the same story. You know, any relationship, when you have a meeting that's correct emotionally, strategically, you should be leaving with a good feeling, and I did that day, and it's led me down a role that or a path that I hope every candidate that I work with has the opportunity to experience, because it's been very fulfilling.
Thanks for sharing that story. And you know, I think the key thing for listeners, there was no job posting. You know, so many people are looking for jobs. Listeners, you know, maybe in transition now or thinking about making a career change. And the natural thing to do for many people, I know this from our career management company, is to start looking around at postings. And yet your story of how you've become pretty happy, it sounds like, in your career.
Thrilled.
Came from interfacing, as you say, meeting, doing field research, conversations with people in the industry that led, because of a key individual who referred you into another person, that led to an open conversation that led to a very satisfying career. So it's just really important to hear these stories, because I think most people think, like, you know, all the ads that you see for the job boards, it makes you think that the answer to your career woes is going onto a job board website and finding some job that's going to make you happy. And yet, you, like so many Career Buzz guests, have said these stories of making connections through people.
It's everything. There is no question that it's 90%.
That's great. Thanks. We're talking to Jack Nodell here. He's the Managing Director of Aries Staffing. I'm your host, Mark Franklin, here on Career Buzz on CIUT 89.5 FM in the Greater Toronto area, and also on CIUT.FM worldwide, broadcasting live. So, Jack, let's talk a little bit about how it's been. You've been riding the waves. You've been riding the business cycles. I know recruiting is something that's very vulnerable to business cycles. When recession hits, employers are concerned about hiring. And I know we've had other recruiters on the show who have talked about dealing with the ups and downs. So how have you managed to deal with the ups and downs, especially most recently? We had a pretty rough recession here that it sounds like now, from at least your perspective, we're climbing out of. How do recruiting companies like yours deal with those ups and downs?
You know, at the end of the day, I think that any good organization is dependent upon its people internally. We have the luxury of having a team at Aries Staffing that has a long-term vision, that works very hard as a team in a team setting. We do not compete internally. And actually, when times got tough, it as many times people will grow through their struggle, our company had the opportunity, because of its corporate culture, to grow through that struggle. And our team just came together. We ended up losing probably about 20 to 25% of our core team. And that wasn't through us actually making cuts. It actually came to a point where a few of the agents and a few of the consultants at our company decided that because of the climate of the economy, they wanted to soul search in some new areas. And we supported them in making a few transitions. Most of our core team remained with us. And we spent our days looking and modifying our organization to work very closely in strategic type hires for some of the great companies that we work with. Even though there was a recession, even though times got tougher, there is proof in the pudding that great people, and when I say great, I mean probably great like the people listening to our show right now, great people are always needed. And, you know, if you're focused on building long-term relationships properly, if you're truly getting out there and giving your time to network, to ask for those referrals, and to give what you can, you are still going to get through those tough times. And that's why Aries Staffing, you know, made it and actually experienced a decent time even through the downturns, is because we have companies that come to us to tap into great people, and we were still meeting those great people, and companies were still quietly hiring them. There is no question. The news can do an excellent job of causing people to veer off path now and again when they hear that it's raining all the time.
Right. So bad news can create this negative mindset, and everybody gets worried.
100%.
Even though unemployment only rose a small number of percentage points, it's not like some other countries in the world that we all know of where there's strife, because unemployment is huge. Here, if it goes from, you know, 7 to 8 or 9, it's like the world is falling apart, but it's still pretty good.
We're still here. We're still thriving. In fact, we're growing quite nicely, and it's a huge benefit to our candidates and a huge benefit to our clients.
So I'd like to talk a little bit about what you've learned from recruiting. And I also want listeners to know that they can give a call, a rare opportunity to speak to a recruiter, sometimes very difficult to get the recruiter's attention. So as we, as Jack Nodell and I speak over the next few minutes, if you do have questions that you'd like to bring on the air here, give us a call. The number to call is 416-946-7000. That's 416-946-7000. To be on the air, we're talking to Jack Nodell, Managing Director of Aerie Staffing. I'm your host, Mark Franklin, here on Career Buzz on CIUT-FM. So, Jack, when is a good time to look for a job?
Yesterday. Yesterday. In fact, if you're going about making a move, if you're currently employed, or you're thinking about, or you're not employed right now, and you're out there searching and sort of looking around, I believe that keeping your eyes open to strong opportunities that feel correct for you and that, you know, put you into an alignment with a path that is going to offer you fulfillment in all areas, it should be ongoing. It should just be an ongoing process for everybody. And that's in your job search and outside of your job search. Living that life of building good relationships, networking, referring good people to other people will lead you into the referrals you're looking for and put you into a good path.
So it sounds like your recipe for successful career management, managing your career well for the present and the future, has a lot to do with building your network, making connections, and making referrals.
No question.
Would you say that's the key ingredient of managing your career?
No question. When you refer John over to Michelle, and you open up that connection and you help those people connect, you may never see a return on that time investment. But I've learned in my life and in my career, especially in the staffing industry, that those investments will be your most fruitful. And those investments will make much more of a difference than hitting the send button on a web-based portal that sort of, you know, gives you a couple seconds of hope and it certainly can turn itself into a new opportunity for you.
You mean like traditional job search, there's a posting on one of those job boards and
sure.
I'm going to click reply,
sure.
apply
sure.
for this job.
Sure.
And it is the answer, what most people think of. I mean, we've had thousands of clients at Career Cycles, and it's common to hear that people spend most of their time when thinking about their career simply scouring the job boards, looking
right.
for postings, and clicking that send button and having some hope, as you say, briefly.
Right.
If somebody were job searching right now, if our listeners are thinking about making a change, whether they're employed or in transition, how would you advise them to split their time? Let's say they have, you know, 20 hours a week to spend on their job search. How much time should they be scouring the job boards? How much time should they be building their networks, connecting with people? How much time should they be investing in connecting with staffing and recruiting professionals like yourself?
So I would always advise any candidate, any individual, a person looking to make a move, meet with staffing agents, meet with staffing consultants, align yourself with people that when you leave your meeting, have added some emotional value to your search, some strategic value to your search, and that you see a genuine alignment with. It should be a good process. You do not pay for that with cash money. So again, the currency is two people sitting and offering their time to each other. You should feel good after a meeting like that. That should be a good quarter of your search. The other piece of the pie, without a doubt, and because we're so immersed in an online world right now, keep your eyes open, you know, as to portals that probably pull a lot of opportunities together so that you can keep a bird's eye view as to what organizations are actually hiring, what organizations are actually causing some momentum out there. It's good to know. There's no question. And if you're going to be using the internet as a medium, try to remember that face-to-face time is going to be your greatest asset. So if you're going to be using the internet, tap into portals and into programs that offer you some type of group setting meetups. I even believe there is one called Meetups, where you can get involved in networking socially with people that are in the same space as you. Often enough, those people are tied into great companies and they are hiring themselves, or they can refer you to places that might be hiring. And also, a great staffing consultant will be communicating with you all the time. At Aerie Staffing, we're speaking to candidates constantly, chronically, all day, and we're making sure that we're bringing value even outside of our firm to their search, because down the road, those relationships often move into some really exciting areas. So break it up into some web work, let's say a quarter web work. Spend some of your other time, about another quarter, working with agencies directly. Have 5 to 10 that you like, and make sure that it's a two-way relationship. You should be checking in with each other on a regular basis. And, you know, for the other piece of the puzzle, get creative, right? Let it not come from me. Do something that essentially you've never tried before. It can't hurt. It can't hurt.
So there's the pie chart, if I could, yeah. You know, and it's an interesting one. I've often thought about this pie chart if people have a certain amount of hours per week to job search. So to summarize, about a quarter of your time trying to connect meaningfully with recruiters, staffing agents, quarter of your time online, just seeing who's out there, who's hiring, what's happening. If you see a gorgeous job, go ahead and apply.
For sure.
But half of your time should be all these other activities, connecting with people, building your relationships, either face-to-face, or as many people are, many professionals at least now are spending their time on LinkedIn, mm-hmm. Using that as a medium to join groups, enter into discussions, make referrals. What's your perspective on the most valuable way to use LinkedIn these days now that it's such an important piece of the kind of professional network?
Instead of focusing on one brand name out there when it comes to the internet, like a LinkedIn, I would probably tally up all of the offerings that seem interesting to you as a job searcher. If LinkedIn is one of them, so be it. Utilize it. I would chase after the one that gives you the most face-to-face time with other human beings. Most likely, you're looking for an opportunity that's going to have you working with other people. I believe that your job search should chase down opportunities that have you face-to-face with other people. It's the truth of the world, right? Our life is all about our relationships, and it's what brings most people joy. It will be the same way in your job search, ultimately, if you track it back. It was a face-to-face interview that got you that great job. Without that face-to-face piece, you probably would never have had the role. But I promise you, you could have always applied 100 times with the internet.
Great advice. So if you're going to use any of the social media, use the ones that are going to lead you to some sort of short meeting, interaction, absolutely. So that you can connect with people.
As quickly as possible.
Right on. We're talking to Jack Nodell here. He's the Managing Director of Aerie Staffing in Toronto. I'm your host, Mark Franklin, on Career Buzz. And we are opening the phone lines to listeners. If you have a comment or question for Jack, give us a call here. Come online with a comment or question. Call 416-946-7000, 416-946-7000. We got a few more minutes here, and we're going to try and get a few more tips in on how to manage your careers, how to connect with recruiters or staffing agents. Now, Jack, you had mentioned see if you can meet with a few staffing agents. What we hear sometimes in the career management space is that it's hard to reach you. It's hard to connect. It's hard, you know, if there's a posting, let's say on a recruiter site like yours, people do apply for them, you know, send their resume. Sometimes they don't hear back. Now, how can you be effective if you're a candidate? Your language is candidate, but from our listeners' perspective, that means you're a job seeker. What's effective to reach out and make connections with recruiting people?
It's a great question. I believe the best thing that you can probably do is attempt to align yourself with agencies, with staffing outfits that are progressive in the way that they're using social media. No question. Lydia LaFrancois is the marketing manager at Aries Staffing, and she's incredibly effective in the social space. And it's been a great way for candidates to reach out to us directly. As you can imagine, in the staffing industry, there is an offset of the number of candidates out there as opposed to employers. And it becomes difficult on certain days to respond to everybody that's attempting to make meeting time for face-to-face meetings at the firm, which again, I believe is a huge piece of the puzzle. You should be doing that. Reach out through social media, call in and tap directly into the sales sides of those businesses, and you will be directed over to an agent or what that firm may call a staffing consultant, and explain to them that you would like a face-to-face meeting. If you cannot get through at all, I would probably discount that particular service, because again, we're in the personnel business. We're in the business of working with people. You should be able to reach out to them. And again, if you have comments for improvements on how those organizations might be able to better or more effectively be more open for communication, reach out to the strategists behind that parts of the that piece of that business, and let them know. It will certainly help out.
If people are confused about their career track, they don't know what to do, they call you and they say, I want a job, and you say, well, what are you interested in? And they sound confused, not too sure which direction to go. What do you tell them?
I typically say, come in for a meeting and let's have a chat. At the end of the day, it's very important that people that are working with staffing firms understand that traditionally staffing firms are sourcing candidates for employers that require a specific skill set. And an effective agency or staffing outfit will meet with you anyways. They'll sit down with you and talk to you about your search, so that if there isn't something in place for today, you'll be able to move quickly and effectively for tomorrow.
Right on. And I think we do have a caller. Does caller want to come on the air? We're just checking that out right now. Let's see. All right, that's great advice. Let me circle back to the personal now, Jack. We started talking a bit about your own personal career and life story. Let me ask you this from your own personal experience now and the changes that have happened in your career. What can you share with listeners about making good career and life choices, how to make good career and life choices, tips from your own personal experience?
I would probably say to have a healthy balance when approaching your search, and what that means essentially is you have to do what you love, no question. You have to have a healthy check when it comes to money motivation and the financial importance of making a change or making a new career choice. You just have to have a good balance so that you're getting the emotional fulfillment you need in your career choice. You're getting fair value so that you can get what you're looking for, you know, on a physical level, on a monetary level. And you have to also be able to have a healthy work-life balance in your career, because at the end of the day, we should be working for the time that we have outside of work. So I would probably state those as being the important, you know, healthy pieces to a balance there.
Great advice. If people want to find out more about Aries Staffing, how do they do that?
They can reach out to us through Twitter, of course. We have a great presence socially, again, through Lydia, www.aresstaffing.com. And you can always call us at 416-480-2700. And I'm at extension 224. I would be more than happy to speak to you at any time. And stop in if you like. We're at the corner of Davisville and Young. It's 1835 Young Street. And you can come on right up to our offices at Suite 603. And we'd be more than happy to sit down with you if you walked in as well. We're friendly. Come visit.
Wow, what a friendly invitation to listeners.
Sure.
So if you want to take up Jack's offer, go ahead and do that. Jack Nadel, thank you so much for joining us here on Career Buzz today.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
We've been talking to Jack Nadel of Aries Staffing. We're going to take a little break and come right back with a couple of other great guests. Stay tuned.
Fine! Take my $1.50! Take it all!
Whoa, why are you paying fees?
My credit union only has a few ATMs, so I pay!
Check the back of your debit card for the exchange logo. Your credit union has more than 2,300 ATMs.
That's right, folks. The exchange is your ticket to no-fee withdrawals, deposits, PIN changes, and more at over 2,300 ATMs across Canada. Check the back, Jack. Get the ATM locator app at keepyourchange.ca. Keep your change. Use the exchange.
Everyone rushes to support the CIUT Spring Membership Drive. Beat the rush. Donate in advance right now at www.ciut.fm. Donate via PayPal or your credit card. Thanks to you, we're still 25 years and counting. From the roots up.
And we're back at Career Buzz. I'm your host, Mark Franklin. Before continuing on, I want to let listeners know of a weekly teleworkshop, Unearth Career Excitement, free teleworkshop. It's tomorrow, Thursday, and every Thursday shows you how to unearth career excitement. Check careercycles.com to register. When Vera Asenin found Your Workplace magazine, she said she created an environment where every person working with me would know that the day they created was totally within their control. As president and CEO of the magazine devoted to wellness, leadership, and supporting healthy work culture in Canada, Vera started Your Workplace as her way of making a difference. She says, "I was fortunate to have had so many positive work experiences before my accident. After 2 years on disability, I was willing to do anything to have purpose again." We'll hear Vera's story of calm creativity and resilience through adversity. And Karen Richardson is an editor, writer, and blogger with a focus on digital media. She's been writing for Canadian newspapers and magazines for the past 16 years. She's been published in Medical Post, Chatelaine, and most recently as associate editor in Your Workplace together with Vera Asenin. Welcome Vera Asenin and Karen Richardson to Career Buzz.
Hi, Mark. Hi, Mark.
Thanks so much for joining us today. And thanks also for offering Career Buzz listeners some a discount off registration on the upcoming conference. We'll tell listeners a little bit about that in a few minutes. Vera, what do you like about your career these days?
Oh, I just love my work, Mark. I just really feel that I've got an amazing team to work with. Our purpose in terms of the work that we're doing is phenomenal. I just really passionately believe that the number of hours that we spend in our waking lives is mostly at work, and that work experience should be amazing. And that's what we do here, is we provide options and how we can make that happen.
And as the founder and publisher of the magazine, what do you do? What's your typical work week?
Wow, I tell you, it's pretty busy, especially these days with our conference on April the 18th in Toronto. And there's a real cross between just trying to assist my team and getting the work done that needs to get done, pushing forward in terms of messaging and a lot of visioning around where we want to go next and the partnerships we want to create to assist us in getting there.
And what strengths do you draw on, personal strengths, career strengths, do you draw on to be successful in your work?
It takes a lot of courage, Mark. Courage in terms of just doing things that may not be common, because a lot of times if you do the same stuff, you get the same results. And I really rely on my resilience and my courage to be willing to go places that may not be common.
Right. Great answer. It's so interesting to hear what people say when you ask them about their strengths. Now, Karen Richardson, what do you like about your career these days?
What I like about it is I enjoy the work I do because ultimately I believe in the message that we're sending across with the publication, Your Workplace magazine. So not only is work-life balance important for personal wellness and preventing burnout through the careers, but it also, you know, affects companies these days, and companies in Canada are just starting to catch on to this message. So I enjoy being part of that in the workplace here.
And as the associate editor at Your Workplace, you're doing both a print publication and some online stuff. What do you do in your job?
So my job consists of writing, editing, and some social media work as well. So we're doing Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, and a lot of writing and editing, so collaborating with contributors and freelancers, and also the general, our general audience and speakers at our conference.
And your strengths to be successful in your career as an editor?
I say understanding the content and really enjoying the message, being passionate about what you're writing about, and really it's the medium is the message. So as long as you're passionate about what the content is and working with the people here and across the country, then you're going to be excited about it, and it'll come across in your, you know, in the magazine and hopefully in social media as well.
Great. We're talking to Vera Asenin and Karen Richardson, both of Your Workplace magazine and online, about their career journey and also about wellness in the workplace. Now, Vera, you've had quite a journey that led you to your present position now at Your Workplace. What did you do before Your Workplace?
I was in HR positions in senior management, and then I had a pretty bad car accident, and which caused me to be totally disabled for over 2 years.
Well, so that I mentioned that at the intro. Now, we've had other guests come on the show and talk about some life-changing experiences, sometimes a health scare. What happened? How did your thinking change? And change your perspective on your career as you were dealing with the recovery from your accident?
Well, there's a few things, and with that particular situation, what I came to realize, because of course it was a back neck injury, so I was spending a lot of time looking at feelings, and really got caught up in you know, wondering my purpose. Why am I doing this? What should I be doing? Where should I be? All those big life questions. And then I came to realize that I was asking the questions, but I wasn't getting any answers. So that wasn't particularly helpful. So what I really learned a lot is that purpose, having purpose is really important. Having something to do was really important. And it was incumbent upon me to either accept the doctor's diagnosis, which was I was going to be totally disabled for the rest of my life, or take my life in my own hands and start doing the hard work of getting back into the world of recovery. And really, because my goal was to get back on my feet and have total mobility again, and that became a priority. So I when I looked at the options, and I decided that I wanted to be able to have full mobility, and I did it, much to everybody's surprise.
Wow. So that's a big push, a big move through a very difficult period of adversity.
Oh, absolutely. And when you realize everything in our life is about our own attitude toward it, everything. And it doesn't matter what you do, and it's not about the position you have or the title you have. It's about how you bring yourself to face some of the challenges that are brought before you. And in that particular case, I could accept what others were telling me, or I could take my own life into my own hands and do something about it. And that's what I chose to do.
So how did the questions that you're asking about your life purpose connect to this vocation now in working with Your Workplace magazine?
Well, I went back to work, and because I my self-confidence really was bottomed out, like it sucked. And so I had to start somewhere, and I ended up going into retail from sort of doing senior executive positions and going into retail. It was a real shock. And I came to realize through a variety of really junior positions just some of what was happening in the workplace and how some people were being so poorly treated. And that happened for me. And I had to make a lot of decisions about leaving and trying to find something better because it wasn't serving me well. And I eventually ended up going back into HR, and I was asked, Mark, to do something to this day I maintain was just unethical. And I was asked to give a really poor reference to an employee who decided to move on, to go someplace else, and I was asked by the executive director to find out where they were going and give a poor reference, so this person stayed with us.
This was like a little act of revenge.
Oh, yeah. And you know what? And I just felt it was wrong.
Yes.
And I knew that by refusing to do that, I would be terminated. And I was. So it was a big decision, but at the end of the day, when I look at myself every single day in the mirror, I've got to be proud of who I see. And I would not have been proud had I acted on what somebody told me to do. So I ended up being unemployed yet again, and decided that, much like when I was on my back with my injury, that my life was in my own hands, and that if I believe that work experiences can be great and people can have joy and happiness at work, then I have to do something about getting that message out. And that's when I brought Your Workplace magazine to life.
Isn't it interesting? First of all, thanks for sharing that story. That, you know, we hear so many crazy stories of things that happen in the workplace, and that one, I've never heard a story like that of being asked to give a bad reference. But, you know, there's a moment, and people face moments all the time in their careers, and it's a choice moment, isn't it? It was a fork in the road for you, and had you gone down the road of complying with that request, you would have had a hard time looking yourself in the mirror in the morning.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, really. And we have those requests all the time. And what happens many times at work is that we get caught up in making compromises. And they can be small compromises, but we justify it and say, well, we just this once, I'll do it. And then there's another one, and then there's another one. And then we get caught up in just doing things that we don't believe in. And when we don't take a stand, and it doesn't have to be adversarially. It could just be by asking the question, are you sure we want to be doing this? Or maybe we could be doing something differently.
Yes, yes.
When we don't make those challenges, Mark, we end up going someplace where we don't want to be, and then we end up not liking who we are.
Yes, I'm sure listeners can really relate to that. I think everybody has had some experiences where they thought what was going on wasn't right or wasn't ethical. And there's always that moment about what are you going to do? And it doesn't have to be dramatic. Just like you say, you can raise your hand, you can ask some questions. And I wonder if you do have any advice for listeners who are or have recently faced or who will face one of those ethical dilemmas in the workplace, and how to, you know, how to deal with your own sense of justice and ethics in those moments. What sort of thoughts or advice do you have for listeners on that?
Well, I think the first thing is I was asked a variety of things, and they were all, it was my little antenna go off, and we all get that where the hair stand up on our back, or, you know, the little light bulb moments that,
yes,
that go off, and I think we have to respect that. And what I mean by that is I was also asked, I had one of my it was a board of education that where I was working at, and one of the teachers had informed me that she was going to have to go off on maternity leave, and of course I celebrated the moment with her and put notification forward that we required a replacement teacher, and I was told that we should reject or deny the maternity leave. And it was shocking to me when that happened, and at that time I justified it in terms of saying they were testing me to see if I knew the collective agreement and see if I knew how to handle it. And I think that for people who are listening today, many times we end up justifying what somebody is asking us to do. And what I'm suggesting is I knew I had a little bell that went off in my head saying, this is really weird, but I'm going to justify it this way, and I'm going to remember this. I'm going to remember it in case I get other little bells that go off in my head.
Yes.
Because then that becomes a test for me. I can't afford... And nobody should afford to forget those moments in case that there's something else that's going on and our body is telling us that there's something wrong happening here.
Right. Great advice. Thanks for that. That's really important to pay attention to that little voice inside that everybody knows when you hear it. You just don't know what to do with it sometimes.
You're absolutely right. And then because the bigger question becomes, if it continually happens, what are you going to do about it? And I can guarantee everybody that's listening that if that bell is going off, something is wrong, and to respect yourself first.
Yes.
But there's another opportunity out there where you will be respected in the workplace, and know that, because we've met some amazing organizations here at Your Workplace. We tell the story, and they're phenomenal stories, and that's what we do in our magazine, is we tell the stories of great workplaces to let listeners know, to let people know that they're out there. You don't have to settle if you don't think something's right. Honor yourself first, because there's other options out there.
Great, great message. Thanks for that. We're talking to Vera Asenin and Karen Richardson of Your Workplace magazine. I'm Mark Franklin, your host here on Career Buzz on CIUT 89.5 FM in Toronto, or worldwide at CIUT.FM. Karen Richardson, take me back. How far back does your interest in writing and communications go?
Well, I always knew that I wanted to write, and I always had an interest in health. So I got into journalism as after university, and I always knew that I wanted to do that. So I followed that path for a little while. So after that, I was I did an internship in medical writing. So I was able to kind of combine those two interests, so that worked pretty well.
And did you did an undergrad degree and then did a journalism diploma out of college? Is that the way it went?
That's right. I did an undergrad degree in English.
Oh, great. So people, I mean, that's a really interesting combination. I think some people who are interested in journalism may want to go directly into that as a university degree, and others might pick up on the humanities and then go into journalism. How come you chose that way and not journalism as an undergrad?
Well, I think it's important to have, I mean, I would suggest for advice for listeners, if you want to get into writing or journalism, it's really good to have a specific area of expertise or something that you're very interested in. But it's also good to have the writing experience as well. But it's nice to have that focus.
And it sounds like the combination has been effective for you.
Yeah, I think it's been good because it's two areas that I am interested in, so it has worked well.
And what's one or two turning points in your career story that's brought you to the present?
Well, after doing an internship, I've done some corporate work as well. And I just knew sometimes, you know, there's some jobs we have. I knew it wasn't quite for me. I wanted to return to a workplace where I was able to be, you know, creative and sort of somewhere that embodied the message of work-life balance, using my skills as much as possible, the editing and the writing, and some communications work as well. So I was able to do that here, and luckily things have aligned really well. I really enjoy working with Vera and the team here, and was able to bring those skills to your workplace.
And how is the workplace over at your workplace from your perspective?
Well, we have a lot of fun here, but we work hard.
Yes.
It's a really good team atmosphere. We have a lot of collaborators, contributors across the country. But we try to, you know, keep our sense of humor and have a lot of fun with it. But we really respect everyone's ideas. We're very creative. We're always open to new suggestions. And we have team meetings as well once a week, and we really listen to each other.
And it sounds like, you know, this magazine devoted, as I said in the intro, devoted to wellness, leadership, and supporting healthy work culture in Canada. Vera, I wonder if I can ask you about that focus and that theme. It certainly sounds like an important thing here. Has it ever happened before? Did we ever have a magazine like this? How did this particular angle and journalistic perspective come about?
I wish I could tell you there was a lot of planning involved with this, Mark, but not a chance. It was just, it's something, as Karen already said, that I was really passionate about. I just really feel that where we're going to make an impact at our workplaces is about the culture. It's about the environment in which you work. And that's really, really critical. So it was just started off, you know, 13 years ago, 14 years ago, talking about what we were passionate about and really created quite the niche for ourselves. And now it's become critically important, the work that we do, because we've got so much change going on. We've got a change in demographics. We've got, you know, technology is hugely impacting the way that we do work. Globalization has impacted, you know, our work as well. The addition of millennials in the workplace, things are just a little bit topsy-turvy right now in terms of what's happening in the workplace. So I'm really glad to see that there's a lot of external influences that are causing workplaces in Canada to say, how can we do things better? How can we better engage our employees? How do we retain them with a really good offering?
Right, so there's a couple of interesting topics, and I guess you know, readers of the magazine are interested in these topics. You just said engage our employees, retain our employees. What can you say about that? Is that, how much of a trend is that? I know I saw the cover of your winter issue, and it talked about hot trends for 2012. How does this employee engagement angle and retaining employees fit into the hot trends for 2012?
Well, it's Daniel Pink has done a lot of work, and in his most current book, Drive, he talks about first thing about compensation. And he says, you know, make sure that you pay your people enough that issue is off the table. And I think that that's so well said by him, and it's really, really true, is compensation is never really about engagement or retention at all. It's a part of it, but if you, as long as you offer enough, then it's an issue that's off the table. The rest of the time, you're spending talking about how do you best engage people. And as Karen already said, in terms of our working relationship here at Your Workplaces, we have a great time. We're good friends. We have a lot of fun together. We work hard together, and we're respectful of each other, regardless of position, where what people's ideas really matter. And we say that to people. We say thank you. We show respect. Somebody goes out for a coffee and says, hey, does anybody else want one? It's doing things where you feel like you belong at your workplace, where you feel that if you weren't there, you'd kind of miss it. You'd miss those little things that go on. And it's your second family, to be honest with you, because we spend so much time in our work environment. And that's what we're looking at in terms of moving forward, is there's a lot of workplaces where you can honestly say that at the end of the day, you're looking forward to leaving. And the best workplaces, you don't have that feeling at all.
Yeah, so, you know, some people listening who are working might feel that they belong at the workplace. And boy, do we ever hear a lot of complaints about not feeling like people belong.
Yeah.
You know, so we've got a career management company. We're speaking to people all the time. Many of our clients are employed. And boy, do you hear a lot of complaints about the workplace. So what are the trends? You know, are leaders and HR people, I guess, who are some of the potential implementers of these good ideas, are they listening? Why isn't this happening faster?
Well, there's a lot of responses I can give to that one. But I think that on an individual basis, there's an approach that we use here, and it's the step, you know, either step up or step out. And what that means is if you're complaining about your workplace, then you've got a choice. Your choice is either to step up, which is to help make it a better place, right? Help make changes so that it'll become a better place to be. And if you do that and you're not respected or it's not appreciated, or if you choose not to do that, it's time for you to step out. Get out of there. Get out of there because you're not adding to it to be a better place. You're actually hindering it. And not every workplace is meant to be appropriate for every person. So you may find that you're trying to step up and make it a better place, but if people aren't respecting you, respect yourself and get out.
Right. But you have to have the confidence that you're going to find something new. And of course, that's what our first guest was talking about, Jack Nadell, the recruiter. When I asked him when's a good time to look for a job, he said yesterday. He was very upbeat about finding alternatives. So I guess the step up or step out advice, which is good advice, but people are afraid to step out until they start to feel there's some degree of confidence. Canadian employers, are they hiring? Are they not hiring? What are you finding in terms of that level of you know, the economy and how it's recovered from our recession here, so that there's enough confidence that people can follow that advice of step up or step out?
Oh, it's not, I guess I disagree a little bit with the confidence part. I'd say it's more about courage, because people can, if they're saying that, you know, what their confidence is, that's a relative term for every person. Confidence for somebody may be when I have $100,000 in the bank and I'm willing to take the risk. It can depend by each person. And so I'm a little concerned about that. I mean, you can listen to the budget that was released, you know, yesterday on a provincial level or the federal one that's coming out, and you can say, wow, I'm not feeling confident about this budget. And, you know, and it's not about that. That sort of speaks to external factors. What I'm talking about is for individuals, for each person to find the courage within. And if you're not happy where you are, find the courage to make a change. And it's not so much about being confident about whether it's the right change or not. I mean, I was disabled for 2 years. I never had that as a choice. I wasn't waiting till I was confident to get back into the workplace. I wasn't going to wait until there was confidence of the doctors that I was going to, you know, recover from it. I know it wasn't about that at all. It was about me having courage to step out and to get out of the bed that I was in and try to make a change. It was about me having courage to leave the house and start on an entry-level retail position after being a senior executive for years and doing something different. I didn't have
right
the
on.
Confidence, Mark, but I had the courage.
Right on. I think that's a great way to frame it, is the courage. Now, Karen, I know you've been busy writing and scouring the country for trends there, and I know you've got hot trends for 2012. What's one trend that you can share with listeners that you've been personally interested and excited about over the last little while?
Well, I think the biggest trend we're really seeing in content in terms of workplaces across North America is the trend for millennials and employees to really become empowered, and the fact that they've got choices a little bit more because of, you know, more millennials entering the workplace, the change in demographics. So the trend that we're finding is that we're really excited about is that employees do have choice. They do have some options out there, and they want work-life balance. There'll be, you know, the Generation Y younger employees or even some Gen X's, but now they want that from their employer. So that's a big trend. And if companies across North America don't listen to that message, they may lose their talent elsewhere.
Right on. Now, I know you guys have this conference coming up on April 18th, and you had offered CareerBuzz listeners a discount. Do you want to just say a tiny bit about the conference and how they can get involved?
Well, our conference is coming up on April 18th, and it's at the Royal York Fairmont Hotel in Toronto. It's a one-day conference, and it's a great opportunity for HR executives, coaches, leaders, managers, even employees, anyone interested in workplace, the change in the workplace that's going to be taking place, that's already started. So they're welcome to check us out on our website. So on our website, it's yourworkplace.ca. They can follow us on Twitter. Our handle is yourworkplace. Or they can get in touch with us by email. They can send an email to editor@yourworkplace.ca, and I'll just let Vera speak to the conference as well.
So yeah, and I also know that you had mentioned if they put a discount code of CIUT89.5 in, they'll get a discount. So what's that all about?
So what we're proposing here is that we're excited about this particular group and what the work that you're doing, Mark, and we want to honor some of your work. And in line with that, what we're willing to do is offer anybody who's listening today $200 off of our conference. So it's a one-day event. There's over 12 different speakers who are going to be there, including Simon Sinek, starting with the why, who talks about the first thing we need to do with anything we do is know why we're doing it and start from that position. And so he goes, so it's a very interesting thing, especially for people who are looking at making a career change, is don't talk about what you do or how you do it, but start with your why. And that's where your passion lies. So we're really lucky to have him come up and speak to all of our delegates. So the code that when you come to register on our website, as Karen said, www.yourworkplace.ca, you go to the conference site, it's CIUT895, CIUT895. You put that in when you register, and that'll give you $200 off of the conference fee.
That's great. Thanks so much for that. Now, we just have a minute left of the interview, so I'll put all that info also on the Career Buzz link at careercycles.com. If I could just bring it back to the personal for a minute and ask each of you to briefly say what you've learned personally about making career and life choices from your own experience. What's one thing that you can share with listeners about what you've learned? Vera?
Well, I'm going to say that having clarity about what I want is a lot more important than what I want to be or what I want to do. And when I have clarity about what I want in my life, it comes to me a lot easier. And everything I've been through is to really have that vision in front of my head, and that I express in terms of how do I want my day to be.
Great.
Because every
right
single
on.
Day, I want it to unfold in a beautiful way.
And Karen.
And for that to happen, I've got to be clear at the beginning of my day of how I want my day to unfold. And it's that clarity that really has been helpful for me.
Great. Thank you, Vera. And Karen, in a couple of words, what's one thing you've learned about making good career and life choices?
I think it's important to recognize what you're good at and what you enjoy, what kind of environment you like working in, whether you're extroverted, introverted, what kind of a team you like. And also, it's important to be an expert in one area, and not just one area, but really find your focus as much as you can, and learn from other people around you.
Great. Thanks so much. We have to wrap up and leave it there. Thanks so much, Karen Richardson of Vera Asinin, for joining us here on Career Buzz.
Thanks, Mark.
Thanks, guys. You've been listening to Career Buzz, Canada's unique radio conversation that empowers lives, enriches careers, and energizes organizations. I'm your host, Mark Franklin. You can find out more about me at careercycles.com. Two other hosts of Career Buzz are Leanne Sachs at livinginthemoment.ca and guest host Mark Swartz at careeractivist.com. If you have comments on today's show, please let me know. It's mark@careercycles.com. Thanks to our guests Vera Asinin, Karen Richardson, Jack Nadell. Thanks to technical producers today, which were Deanna Cherian and Mickey Ben-Murgi. You can catch Career Buzz every Wednesday at 11 a.m. here on CIUT. See careercycles.com for a MP3 of today's show. That's it for today's version of Career Buzz. Thanks for listening.